Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode is sponsored by Hack the Entrepreneur, the book, How to Stop Procrastinating, Build a Business, and Do Work That Matters. I've been starting and running businesses for the past 13 years, both offline and online. But in 2011, I discovered the internet as a business, and I will never look back. Now, 200 plus interviews and over 1.3 million downloads later, I've distilled everything I've learned down to 50 hacks. The book launches December 14th, and you can get on the early notification list now. Go to htebook.com and put your email into the sign-up. That's htebook.com. Get on the email list to get exclusive bonuses not available anywhere else. That's htebook.com.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you again so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an actor, author, occasional game show contestant, and entrepreneur. He has written over 30 books, which have sold more than 30,000 copies. He's the founder of BestPageForward.net, the co-host of Sell More Books Show, and Selling for Authors. My guest has managed to merge his love of writing with the world of entrepreneurship and has grabbed the title of my first guest to be called an authorpreneur on this show. Now, let's hack. Brian Cohen. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, ProJob Network. If you are a small business owner, you can do 1,000 things to find a great hire, or you can just do one. Post with the ProJob Network. Just one click, post your ad to over 40 different job sites. It would take you forever to do that, and even then, you would not get the preferred placement that you'll get from the ProJob Network. In about a day, you'll have a list of qualified local candidates to choose from. Because ProJob Network will place your job in front of qualified candidates who've asked to hear about your specific job opportunities. How great is that? You'll save time, you'll save money, plus you will find great people. Go ahead, try ProJob Network free for 1 week by being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. Visit tryprojob.com/hack. That's tryprojob.com/hack for your free 1 week trial. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have another very, very special guest. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John, for having me. Happy to be here.
It's my pleasure, and I think this is going to be really good.
I hope so.
Let's jump straight into this, Brian.
Okay.
Here it is, first time. Brian, as an authorpreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a great question. I think that with, and maybe not everybody knows what an authorpreneur is, author entrepreneur. I think that when you kind of combine that, you're writing books on one end, but you're also trying to build a business at the other, you need to look at what you are good at. And you're not always good at figuring that out yourself. The funny thing is, one of my biggest successes in the last few months has been my author copywriting business, Best Page Forward. And I've been writing copy for years and years, been doing ghostwriting, been criminally underpaid for it because I wasn't great at asking for raises. But a person in a mastermind that I was in said, Brian, you're an author, you're a copywriter, why don't you do copywriting for authors? And that just clicked so much. And so I think the number one thing I've done that has been done to me, because this was not me, this was someone else, Simon Whistler, an author entrepreneur in his own right, helped me by pointing out what I was strong at. And so I think that one of the number one things I've been able to do is find a way to combine what I'm strong at with what I am passionate about. And when you can make those two things connect, it ends up being something that makes you more successful and something that makes you happier, which is always really the more important thing anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And to clarify, I love this authorpreneur thing because it's really, at least from what I see, it's really, really new. Like this, you couldn't really do this the way you can now. This is like, to me, almost like blogging as a business 10 years ago, how it was just this new form of like, you can create a really cool business and lifestyle around something you really want to do, which was writing in a blog format at that point. But now you can literally write books on like in a huge way with no real barriers to entry, except for writing the books.
Of course.
And then marketing them correctly. And that's so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm fascinated with you guys.
Well, we're here to help.
I am. And the first one that I realized that did this is Johnny B. Truant and Sean Platt. They also just decided to start writing novels and like just massively writing novels and building this huge business out of it. And it's really, to me, it's super, super awesome because, I mean, people sometimes grow up wishing they could write, right? And they, before there was always gatekeepers and now there's no longer a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Well, good. It's good to feel loved.
Are you still in a mastermind? And how long have you been in one for?
Oh yeah, I've been in a few over the years, but this one has been running, I think, about a year, and it's three other author entrepreneurs. One is a podcaster like yourself, and I'm also a podcaster. And another is a public speaker and a nonfiction author, and the other is an editor and an author. And we all meet every 2 weeks. And man, if it wasn't for that mastermind, I wouldn't have ever been granted this wonderful idea from the other person in the mastermind with me.
Where'd you find these guys? Where'd you start this mastermind?
It was...
That's always the question. Oh, where do you find these things?
Oh, well, this was great. You're going to love this. This was from an author entrepreneur message board called the Writer Circle that was started by Simon, who I mentioned before. And it was in this forum that we decided to connect up, the four of us. So I think that it's never a bad idea to check in the places where like-minded people are meeting.
Yeah. And there's so many places, from even massive ones like Reddit, where you can find your subreddit of exactly what you're into, or else forums on so many different sites, or even comments I find on like a blog that's popular in your topic. Spend time there and you will start to meet people.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But we can definitely feel isolated. So let's go back. You were talking about how the big things that have happened in the last 6 months, but let's go back as far as we need to, because there seems to be this time in every, I guess, authorpreneur's life when they realize, right, they either had this calling to make this big difference in the world, or you find that they simply just cannot work for somebody else anymore. So Brian, could you tell me like which side of the fence you fall on there and when you discovered this about yourself?
Well, I think there was kind of a bridging of the fences in a way. I wanted to improve myself let's go back to 2008. I started blogging on a website called Build Creative Writing Ideas. And I was writing essentially motivational posts for other authors and trying to figure out how to help them write. But at the same time, I was the one who was having trouble getting myself to sit down and write. So I was helping myself a little bit, but trying to help others at the same time. And through working on that blog and you know, through blogging, every so often you'll find, hey, this one topic seems to be getting all of my traffic into my site. So what do I do with it? And my traffic, my big keyword was creative writing prompts. So I said, okay, well, I can easily churn out about 10 of these ideas. I used to be in improv comedy, so I know how to sit down and write an idea for a scene really easy. So I churned out hundreds of these blog posts. And eventually I decided, well, I would love to earn some money from this. And this is when I put together my first book, 1000 Creative Writing Prompts. It was straight yanked off of my website and thrown into this book. At first, a very ugly PDF. But a couple months later, when I found out that Amazon was offering self-publishing, this was in about October 2010, put it up on Amazon. And then within a couple of months, it started doing really well, partly because I was sending as much traffic as possible from my blog to that Amazon page.
And how many of them did you sell?
I've sold of that book about 25,000 copies.
Jeez. That's massive.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great, it's a great thing. It still sells today. It's wonderful. It's timeless because you're putting together ideas, and ideas like this, ideas for fiction or nonfiction, really remain timeless. So it continues to be a really nice seller for me.
How many times have you had to update it?
That one, I haven't actually updated. I did do some, when you put out your first book, sometimes you realize, oh, I should have edited that better. So I have gone back and edited. But since then, I've written four more books of 1,000 prompts each. And I've combined them into a box set. I've put together workbooks. So just paperback versions through Amazon's Create Space. And those sell. There, a lot of them are packaged for kids, like third grade workbooks, fourth grade workbook for writing. And so I've just tried to cut and paste them in a bunch of different ways. Haven't actually done a lot of updating. But even though I haven't written one since the end of 2013, they continue to be big sellers for me.
That's excellent. And so this is 2008, you started blogging on Build Creative Writing Ideas. Did you, was this a side hustle at the time? Did you have a full-time job at that point?
I was, I think, a former barista, if not middle of being a Starbucks barista at that point, and doing temping. So this was a side hustle with no real hustle going on. It was all just the side hustle was the hopeful thing. I was mid to late 20s at that point, didn't really know what I was doing, but this ended up being becoming the hustle.
Right. So how did that transformation sort of happen? Like, how long from when you started and it was like you were a barista or going to become one, but like until you were actually making income and you were like, well, I can actually just do this if I just find more ways to create more income.
Yeah. Well, after about a year or so, I was starting to earn a good $1,000 to $2,000 a month off of just the books. And I'll admit, I could have done a little bit better building my platform at that point. I was still young and happy that just money was coming in, and I didn't sit down and develop. I could have built my mailing list at that time. Really didn't start doing that until the last year and a half. I could have done better at that point. But what that did allow me to do, and this is just a great segue, actually. What this did allow me to do was I was able to quit all the temping, part-time, what's it, and I started doing copywriting. I started writing for various blogs, and I started eventually ghostwriting for publications like Forbes and Entrepreneur. And I was building, at that point, I was honing my chops a little bit. And several years later, after kind of just having the books as one half of my income and the freelance as the other half, I finally was able to meld them together in really just this last 6 months.
Yeah, which is totally cool. And I mean, you can look back and say like, oh, well, maybe I could have made more money back then. But like you said, you're making $1,000, $2,000 a month, which is amazing. Like, because I know there's people listening and like, man, if I could make $1,000 or $2,000 a month, like as a side hustle, they would like be life changing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hardest part, I think, is getting to that stage. Because then from there, it's just scaling, right? It's really, you're starting to really figure stuff out and you're getting some wins under your belt. So it really kind of propels you forward. And even if you don't take all the action and build the list and all that stuff, it's still, I don't know why I think that that's the hardest part, is getting it over your, like, just that first money coming in from the internet.
Yeah.
From people you don't know.
Oh, yeah. And my first sale was my mother-in-law. But eventually when strangers come in, oh, for sure. It's that first dollar, that first hundred, that first thousand. When you can get to that point and see those numbers roll in, you know you can add an extra zero eventually.
Exactly. Okay, Brian. So every blog post now, every expert talks 80-20 rule. Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please tell me something within your business that you are absolutely not good at?
I hate the tech stuff. I hate the tech stuff. I hate setting up. I was working on this course the last few months, the Selling for Authors course, which is a course on author copywriting. And I was figuring out the special WordPress theme. And I was figuring out the MemberMouse membership plugin for the first time. And I wanted to tear out all my hair, stab my laptop, end it all. I just stopped doing it. And I did keep pushing through, but I couldn't have done it without some outsourcing. I did have help from about a 10-hour a week author assistant here in the States, but I also had some overseas help. I used onlinejobs.ph to bring in a couple of author assistants, virtual assistants, to help out with some of the tech stuff, getting things installed the right way, people who knew WordPress better than I did. And that is something I'm so happy I was able to outsource, because if I'd had to do that myself, I don't know if I would have ever finished the course. I really don't.
Yeah. And I think it's overcoming that you have to do everything yourself, which you absolutely don't, right? But
no.
The tech stuff can be such a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Was it also, what was like a difficulty in hiring staff from overseas?
Well, I think that you need to be willing to take the time to sit down and walk through your VA with the tasks that need to be done. So you can't just say, here's a link, go do this. At least not at first. You need to do the first 10% yourself. And you need to say, okay, well, these are the things that my VA is going to need to do. These are the things I'm going to need to spell out, because in some cases, there will be a language barrier. And in some cases, there will just be things you think are simply put are not simply put. So you need to be kind of willing at the beginning of a major task, like say you are putting together a new WordPress site with some special software you're not familiar with. You need to at least look through it. You need to look through the support documentation. You need to make sure there's going to be nothing that is going to trip up the person. Because I know that in some countries, if a person is unsure, if a VA is unsure of what they're supposed to do, they may bail, or they may just not say anything about it because it's just another culture. In some cultures, they don't like to talk about that sort of stuff. So you need to be willing to walk through it yourself, create some standard operating procedures. That's the term I keep hearing thrown around. And it really is helpful to make sure you get them headed in the right direction.
Do you have standard operating procedures now? Some?
For some of the things that I need on a regular basis, I do. But I know that when I'm working on new tasks, I have an idea of doing a multi-day a week podcast like yourself next year. And I'm sure you love every aspect of that. But I'm going to need to create some standard operating procedures for editing the audio, for getting the blog posts up, the things that I definitely would want to outsource. I need to make sure that when there's a new task, I need to create the SOP for that.
Yeah. And that's absolutely true, because I do three a week of this, and I do one a week of the showrunner. And if I didn't have an assistant who was helping with the blog posts and finding guests, and then also an editor and a graphic designer, I couldn't do it. There's no way.
Oh, yeah.
But as soon as you can get over the hurdle of actually creating those SOPs, and I mean, to me, this is just for, not just for you, Brian, but for anyone listening. SOP is, I mean, we all have procedures, ways we do, even the way you make coffee in the morning, there's a standard way that you do it. So it's not like you have to kind of create these. You just have to document what you do. And know that it's probably going to be super inefficient and kind of crappy the first time. And then you can look at it on paper and be like, wow, that's how I make coffee? I should really actually do that part first to do that part. I should wash the cup before I put the coffee into it, kind of thing. And like, it's just things that we do. We have operating procedures of everything we do. So it's not like you have to create that part. You just have to document it. And then from there, just make it better. So, and it will just get better over time. That's just how it is.
I think that's a great way of looking at it. It's funny. I've been kind of talking about this improvement of my home life with my standard operating procedures. I used to be kind of a slob, and My wife didn't like it.
Really?
So now, yes, big surprise. Huh? Why? I don't understand. But I decided now every morning before anything, before I do anything, and I'm the kind of person who likes to dive into my business, likes to start right away. Before I do anything, now I spend about 30 to 45 minutes straightening our house. And man, surprisingly, that's made my marriage way better. So I think you do need to look at the way you make coffee, the way you do any task. You can improve it if you write it down, if you figure it out and figure out how to make it better.
Yeah, exactly. And like I've said about businesses in general, it's like today is the worst it's always going to be. Mm-hmm. You can always improve tomorrow a little bit, tomorrow, the next day, the next day. And also empowering your assistant or whoever employees to be like, just look at this honestly as you're doing it. And if something doesn't make sense, change it. Make it more efficient for yourself. Like, this is just how I've always done it. And I documented it. So they're essential. And especially if you're going to go to multi-day podcasting, there's so many tiny little annoying steps.
Yeah,
need to be done, but the rewards are there. So let's talk projects. So this multi-day podcast a week or this new course that you talk about, this projects can be a very loose term. You can take it however you want. But what is the procedure that you go through? And it's probably not written down at this point, but tell me if it is. But even within your own head, what's the procedure you go through to decide when a project is something that you should put your time, energy, and resources into?
Sure. Well, I am a person who likes to leap before I look sometimes, and that has helped me and hurt me at various points. But I'm a gut instinct guy. When I thought about when my friend Simon brought up the idea of that author copywriting business, it clicked in my head and I said, oh, I'm definitely doing this. Now, the step after that, and I've been able to do this with both the Best Page Forward and with the Selling for Authors course that I've been working on, I sit down. I like to do this pen and paper and pencil. I don't know why I can't sit down in front of a computer and do this, but I like to sit down and I like to write out every task, everything that will be required from where I am now to what will need to be completed before I can actually say, yep, this project is launched, this is up. And man, for the course especially, that was pages, just pages and pages of the little minutiae that need to be taken care of. But by doing that, by writing it all out, that was the first major step. Then I could see, okay, well, now I can kind of work backwards. When can I actually, if I want to launch this date, if I want to launch this now, what needs to happen when? And then I can start with the scheduling. So I've got all the tasks, then I can kind of do the scheduling. And then I can determine, okay, well, what help will I need? What will I need to push around in my regular schedule? And so once I kind of get all of that put together, then it's really just start doing the work and adjust the plan for anything I was wrong about at the beginning or new tasks that I hadn't realized were in there. Just add those as I go and barrel through.
You were never wrong about something, were you?
Oh,
man, everything you laid out from course. That pages and pages at the very yeah. beginning before you started was all exactly
yeah at so many fun things along the
that's
way that I figured out
work.
But
that's how life
I mean
works.
That's part of the fun of making a business. You kind of, like I said, I used to do improv comedy. I like when something unexpected happens, not when it's terrible, but when it's something unexpected comes up and I get to just quickly juke and figure it out and then just keep pushing ahead.
Yeah. When was the last time you thought that maybe you should just go get a job?
Oh, that's a great question. Not this year, but probably maybe last year. Whenever book sales dip, I know that there's kind of a midpoint in the summer when people aren't really looking for educational books or reference books that much. And sales dip a little bit. And maybe I didn't have as much copywriting work as I'd hoped at that time. So yeah, actually now I'm remembering it. It's probably like last fall. I lost a major copywriting gig I had that was providing me a decent source of income, and the book sales were not at their highest point. And I did think about getting a job at that time, but instead I kind of scrambled around and realized that was insane. Why would I want a job again? And eventually got myself away from that craziness.
Yeah, but we do all go through it. That's totally.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah. And even actually then when your business scales up to certain levels, I have guests on that have like quite massive businesses, and sometimes they just like, I wish sometimes you wake up and just like, I wasn't responsible for all of this today. Like, I wasn't the person that everybody was looking at for answers today. Like, I had somebody I could be like, what do we do?
Yeah. Oh, I have those days for sure.
Fair enough. So how many books do you have now that like that creates your whole sort of, is it, I don't know what it would be called. What is it called in the authorpreneur market? Like your body of work, your products?
I guess it, your products, your product line, whatever you want to say, your backlist for authors. I hear the word backlist a lot. So I have about 45 products on Amazon. And a lot of those are those workbooks I mentioned. I repackaged some of my 1,000 creative writing prompts books, of which there are 5. And I repackaged those into about 5 workbooks each. And so that right there is about 30 books. And I've also dabbled in being a novelist. I have 4 novels out for a young adult sci-fi fantasy series called Ted Saves the World. And then just some various other books on writing out there. So yeah, it's about 45 products up there.
All right, here we go. Absolute self-indulgence.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited about this part.
I'm writing a book. Lots of it's already been written. I've interviewed almost 200 brilliant entrepreneurs in the past year. And I'm taking, and every episode I pull out like a 10-second to 1-minute sort of snippet that somebody says that you've said, and it's the hack. And then I do like a brief essay on it. So these are all being compiled into 50 of them, broken into 5 categories that take you from getting started all the way out through the mindset, ideas, all thing to growth at the end. So it's a book. It's going to be labeled as sort of Hack the Entrepreneur, but it's also for people who don't listen to me yet, and hopefully to draw them back into the podcast, and the podcast listeners can also enjoy it. What's something that I should be looking out for as my very first book upon launching on Amazon in December? Meaning, I guess, like, what's the best sort of launching sort of tactic or strategy, I guess, rather than tactic? I know there used to be this whole free book thing and it was big, but now I've been told like a year ago it was amazing. Mm-hmm. But now they kind of do it differently. So what do you think for somebody like me who has somewhat of an audience, but it's also looking for new people at the same time, it's being packaged as a fairly decent sized book. Mm-hmm. What would you suggest?
Oh man, there's a lot here, but I think the first thing you have to mobilize is get your kind of street team together, your advanced reader list. You want, and you probably could get over 100 reviews on day one. But you need to make sure that you have your core people, and you know your core people. Get your core people about a month in advance, 3 weeks in advance. Make sure they know that what their responsibilities would be and have them ready to get those reviews out on day one. So that's one part. What works on Amazon in particular is getting multiple days in a row of consistent sales. So let's say you have a list of 10,000 people. What I would do is I would partition your list and send out the notice of the launch over the course of 5 days, 2,000 people a day. I would separate that out because Amazon's algorithm, the way it works is when you have consistent sales over several days, it starts to bump you up on its own. So it kind of props you up. So you don't want one big day of sales. You want 5 days of pretty great sales, and that's going to help you in the long run as well. There's a few different things. I mean, it depends on some of your goals. I mean, do you want to sell a lot of copies? Do you want to get on the New York Times bestseller list? I have strategies for all of this stuff.
No, I think it's great content. I think that there's a lot of people who don't listen to podcasts, and that's totally cool. But there's some, I mean, I've talked to 50 brilliant people that I want to share their knowledge with people who read, and then obviously funnel people to an email list from that book.
Okay.
To do other things with. But at the same time, so I don't want to just do it free, I don't think.
No, you don't want to do it free, but $2.99, $3.99. If you price higher than that. I mean, a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of folks who, like, you know, like a Pat Flynn, who would put out a book and maybe price it at $9.99. I wouldn't do anything like that, because now $9.99 is the high end of the market right now. So I would go lower, $2.99, $3.99. You could go 99 cents if you want, but I don't know. I think maybe you launch it at 99 cents if you really want that push, but I think you'll sell a lot of copies at $2.99, $3.99 and get those people onto your list that you want, because they'll see you, they'll know your name, they'll see that 100 plus reviews on day one, and they'll get really fired up about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, and I think it's going to kill. I mean, with your audience, with the podcast, yeah, it's going to do really well. I'm sure that it will be fantastic.
Nice. Right now, our strategy is, we said $2.99 to $3.99. I have the final meeting on it tomorrow, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we were going with $2.99, though. And that's going to be December 14th of a launch, which is a Monday,
mm-hmm.
for about a week and a half. And then a day or two before Christmas, I think we talked about a 99 cent deal to, like, and then hit all the deal sites,
mm-hmm.
sort of after the fact. And so people are listening to that now. And I mean, you can wait if you want. That's totally fine, and save $2. But you have to wait for the book then. But the idea being that I think that I've given out over a year's worth of free content already.
Yeah.
So I think that there's actually a lot of people who just would really like to pay $3 for a book rather than get it for free or for 99 cents, if that even makes mm-hmm. sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I need more free content at this point, because I have a ton of it for people.
Yeah. You need to branch out. I think it's a good idea, and you can then call yourself an authorpreneur.
Exactly, which I can't wait to do.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great.
Unless I only sell like 14 copies, then I probably can't.
That is not going to happen. Don't worry.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, Brian. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I want to end on this question and this idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So this space that we kind of live in, entrepreneurs, dreamers, whatever you want to call us, right? We always have this forward-looking vision. Everything is sort of projected into the future, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years. When you release that course and it does this many sales in 6 months, you'll be successful. Or when that book sells 50,000 copies finally in a year, you'll be successful. Yet right before we get to that success, we always set five loftier ones into the future. And we seem to live in this gap that we never get to success. We always will be successful when. So I would love it, Brian, right now. You've been doing this a long time, from side hustle as a barista all the way through to now. And you've had a killer last 6 months, with even better, I think, ahead of you. But I would love it up till right now, if you would stop, look behind you, everything you've learned, the wins, the losses, and just tell me how you feel about your journey up till today.
I really feel good about it. I feel obviously hopeful about the future, but I feel like I've learned so much and I've grown. And that's been, I think, I know that that's a big part of books like The E-Myth Revisited and whatnot, that entrepreneurship is a personal growth. When you learn to grow yourself, you can grow your business. And I really feel like I've grown so much over the last 5 or 6 years. And the things that I've learned have made me a better person. Like I mentioned, they've made me a better spouse. And they've made me, I think, just into a better friend. And those are the kind of qualities that you don't always think about when you're continuing to build the business. And just like you put it, I have lofty goals, 6 months, a year, 5 years down the line. But if I'm sitting here right now and saying what I'm thankful for, I mean, I'm grateful for all of this, and it's really shaped me into who I am today. And so I'm very, very happy. I feel good about it, and I feel hopeful for the future.
Beautiful answer, Brian. I love it.
Thank you.
So we've got to talk about your business in passing. Could you specifically tell the listener where they can go find out more about Brian and more about your business?
Sure. I'll give three places to make it quick, because I've got a million of them. But Best Page Forward is my author copywriting business. I write book descriptions and Facebook ads for authors, so they don't have to do it themselves. And that's at bestpageforward.net. And I have a business, my course, my Selling for Authors course, in which authors who don't want to pay me to do it, they can learn how to write better author copywriting to improve future marketing efforts. They can go to sellingforauthors.com. And I'm on a podcast. I have to pitch it. Mm-hmm. I have a weekly self-publishing news podcast called The Sell More Books Show. And you should go check that out at sellmorebooksshow.com.
Excellent. You should definitely do that. So sellmorebookshow.com, sellingforauthors.com, bestpageforward.net. There's a briancohen.com. Do not look Brian Cohen up on LinkedIn because he does not update it, apparently, just like most of us don't. But I will link to all this in the show notes for you. So if you're driving right now, it's easy for you to track down on hacktheentrepreneur.com. Brian, once again, thank you so very much for taking the time to join me today. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for letting me pick your brain. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so much, John. And best of luck on your launch.
Oh, thanks. Brian, thank you so much for that conversation. I'm really happy that we got to chat. I'm glad that you got to be the first person to be referred to as an authorpreneur on my show. That's pretty cool. And yeah, it was a great conversation. I'm glad I got to bounce some ideas off you about my book at the end. And yeah, it's cool. I love this whole authorpreneur. I've said this so many times. I love the intersection that people, that the internet allows you to make of art and commerce. It's brilliant. The fact that you can just start writing books now and write enough of them and write them well enough and market them properly, and you can literally create a business out of it. There's nobody stopping you from doing this except for yourself and possibly your spouse or something, because it's taking you forever. You're just writing books nonstop. But that's a whole different thing. There's no gatekeepers. This is literally just you with ambition. And I just love talking to people that are doing this because it's an amazing time we live in that you can do this, and that it wasn't that long ago that you had to find a publisher to do this stuff for you. And it's just not like that anymore. And so that was awesome to get to talk to Brian. So I go back to the conversation, and there was four places I needed to go back to and listen to see what Brian had said. And the first three were pretty cool. But then there was that one thing Brian said, that one thing that just stood right out to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
But I like to sit down and I like to write out every task, everything that will be required from where I am now to what will need to be completed before I can actually say, yep, this project is launched. This is up. And man, for the course especially, that was pages, just pages and pages of the little minutiae that need to be taken care of. But by doing that, by writing it all out, that was the first major step. Then I could see, okay, well, now I can kind of work backwards.
And that's the hack. Brian, I absolutely love this. This is a question that I get so very, very, very often. And this is such a great answer for it. So you have this big project, right? You have this idea and you want to launch it as a business, as a product, as a course, as a service. But it's daunting, right? You're sitting there and you're looking ahead to this massive project and it's too much. It's too much for one person to kind of figure out until you go through this process. And it's funny because I do the exact same thing where I have to do it on paper. It's just the way it is. And actually, I do it with post-it notes. So I literally just started writing down every single thing that I can think of that would ever have to be done to get this idea. So first, I can break the idea down into pieces if I can, maybe into separate little sections. But then I break everything down and I literally have like a desk full of post-it notes. Then I can like kind of get a bird's eye view by literally standing up and looking at it and then starting to position them out into different stuff. And then once I've got it organized on paper, then I move it to Trello. So Trello.com is a free service that you can use, and it's just like post-it notes, except it's web-based. This is how I did the course for the showrunner. This is the exact same way that I mapped out my book. This is the only way to take out these ideas or to take out a launch sequence. We have a launch sequence right now for my book, getting ready to, and every single step is broken into a Trello card. And you can tag people's names or what needs to be done and dates. This is such a necessary thing to understand. So it doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter if you do it with paper, if you do it right on your computer, if you do it on your phone. I don't care how or where you do it, but there's no way you can take a big idea, your idea for a business or a project that needs to get completed, and try and just figure out as you're going to do all the different parts. It doesn't make any sense. You have to break it down beforehand into tiny little pieces. One thing, because it's just so much easier for you to achieve. It's so much easier for you to accomplish if you can look at it and it's like, okay, I have 1 hour today. You can literally take a post-it note or go to a Trello card and just take one of the things and be like, okay, I have an hour. I can do this task. That's your to-do list. Those are the things that need to get done before you can launch your product, your service, your idea. This is brilliant and so simple, yet this is where so many people fail. And I get so many emails from people about this, how to take that idea and turn it into something real. That's what makes you the entrepreneur, is taking that idea of something and making it real and making it exist in the world so it can benefit people and you can be paid for it. Break it down. Break it down to as many pieces as you can. Organize those pieces and start by grabbing one of them and completing it. That's the way it works. And Brian, thank you so very, very, very much for that, because you couldn't have said it any better, or I couldn't have said it any better than you. And I love the writing it down by hand, because for some weird reason, I do it too. So if you're out there listening, I would try it by hand too, because it works for Brian and I. That was fun. Thanks so much, Brian. So my book, again, htebook.com. Check it out. Get on the email list and I'll notify you when the book is out. It's coming out in a few weeks. It's pretty cool. Chris Brogan, he was my very first interview. Have you ever listened to that episode? Episode 1 of Hack the Entrepreneur. It was like 150-something episodes ago. But he's writing a foreword for my book as well, which is very, very awesome of him. Kind of ties the whole thing together nicely, and I'm really excited just to be able to read the foreword. Yeah. So there you go. You got to hear Brian and I at the end talk about pricing of my book. I use that as some free consulting because he's a smart, smart guy. And so as you can tell, the book's going to be 99 cents or $3 or $2. It's going to be cheap, but it's going to be super awesome. I'm really, really, really proud of it. It's been edited, torn apart by many people, and rebuilt and rewritten by me several times. And it's going to be awesome. I hope you grab a copy when it comes out. htebook.com. Please get on that notification list and I will let you know when it comes out. All right. That's it for me. Thank you so much. I truly, truly appreciate it as always. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.